as though caught in an ambush or besieged by an army, we are surrounded by the Lord. As the mountains, as the psalmist would say, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Behind us, there is God recording our sins, or by his grace, blotting them out. Before us, there is God remembering and knowing all of our deeds and providing all of our needs and our wants. If we try to turn back and escape, we cannot, for he is behind us. And if we try to press on and advance forward, we could not, for God is before us. God surrounds his people. In Psalm 139, as King David ponders, praises, and pours out his heart to the Lord, he cries out in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I cannot attain it. I cannot grasp it. I cannot comprehend it. I can hardly endure it. When I think about how great, when I think about how powerful, when I think about how awesome, majestic, transcendent, and ever-present God is, my comprehension, my thoughts, and my heart is completely and totally overwhelmed. Where can I go? David asks. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness around me will overwhelm me and the night around me will be light, even darkness is as light to you. God surrounds his people. As King David pondered, praised, and poured out his heart to the Lord, he was completely overwhelmed as he considered the ever-present, omnipresent God. This year, our congregation has been engaged in the theme, How Great Thou Art. And we have been considering different attributes of the nature of God. Over the past several months, Cloyce and I have presented lessons that deal with these different attributes of God's nature. Today, as we continue this theme, we are going to consider the omnipresent God found in Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to Psalm 139, and that is where we will spend the rest of our time together this morning. It's good to see all of you out this day. It is good to be with you all. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. We have many guests who are visiting with us. We really, really appreciate you all coming our way. We hope that you stick around after services so that we can get to know you better and make some connections. It's always a wonderful, beautiful thing when we have the chance to meet people of God from all over the world and share one thing in common, and that is our bond in Jesus Christ. We're going to get started in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, as King David pondered, praised, and poured out his heart to the Lord, he comes to the realization that he serves a great God. he comes to the realization that he serves an omnipotent God. He realizes that he serves an omniscient God, and he realizes that he serves an omnipresent God, a God who is ever present, a God who is everywhere at all times. And as he considers the ever-present God, King David realizes, that this God of all the earth, is not only a God of the earth. God does not only live on the earth. God does not only dwell on the earth. God does not only reign on the earth. But King David realizes that this ever-present God reigns in heaven. In Psalm 139, he asks the rhetorical question, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" Where can I go to get away from you? Where can I run and hide from you? How can I get away from God? The answer is implied by its immediate context. You can go nowhere from God. If I ascend, he says in verse 8, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. God is not only on this earth, but God is in heaven. This is a theme and a fact that we see all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture, we see our great God seated on his high and lofty throne, reigning in heaven. In 1 Kings chapter 22, the prophet Micaiah says, Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all of the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left hand. God not only dwells on earth, God not only reigns on earth, but all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture, we see our great God seated on his high and lofty throne, reigning in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 15, the prophet Isaiah says, Look down from heaven and see from your holy and beautiful habitation. The Lord is seated high and lofty, and he's looking down. He's looking down at all of his creation as he reigns in heaven. Isaiah would continue to say in Isaiah 66 and verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. All throughout Scripture, we see our great God and King, reigning in heaven. The psalmist would say in Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. The psalmist would continue to say in Psalm 115, why should the nation say, where is their God? Why should they say, where is their God? Why should they wonder, where is their God? God is in the heavens. God is seated. He is dwelling. He is living. He is reigning in the heavens. And this is a theme. This is a fact that we see all throughout Scripture. God not only lives on earth, but he lives in heaven. And it is so sweet. It is so incredibly sweet to know that when we take our last breath, and when we are buried 6 feet deep into the heart of the earth, when we hear that trumpet sound, when we hear that archangel shout, and when we hear the Lord descending from heaven, when we hear the Lord descending from heaven with a cry of command, we can take comfort. We can take comfort in the fact that this God, this great God, this ever-present God will carry us home. He will carry us home to be with him, for all eternity, where we are completely sheltered, showered, and set apart with the Lord forever. This is a wonderful and beautiful thing that we serve a God who reigns in heaven. But not only that, as King David pondered, praised, and poured out his heart to the Lord, he recognized and he appreciated that he served a great God. He served an omnipotent God. He served an omniscient God, and he served an omnipresent God. An omnipresent God who not only dwells and lives on the earth, but an omnipresent God who dwells in heaven. But that wasn't it. Here in Psalm 139, King David came to the realization that he serves a God who reigns in death. In Psalm 139, in verse number 7, King David asks, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there." God not only dwells on the earth, God not only dwells in heaven, but God dwells, reigns, and lives in death. Many translations render the word Sheol in Psalm 139 in verse number 8. This word Sheol in Hebrew means a place of still darkness which lies after death. Some translations render Sheol as the depths, the grave, or hell. What King David is essentially saying is, "Lord, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, if I make my bed in the grave, if I make my bed in the depths, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." It is so sweet to know. It is so sweet to know that we serve a God who reigns in death. Death is a terrifying reality for many of us because there are many unknowns when it comes to death. No one has lived on this earth, died, come back from the dead to tell us exactly what happens after death. There are many thoughts and ideas and perspectives about what may happen. Some believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. Some believe when you die, you go to this resting place called Hades, where you will either be in a place of peace or in a place of torment. Others believe when you die, you simply fall asleep, and when the Lord returns, you awake as though you woke from a dream. There are many ideas about what happens to us when we die, and this uncertainty can cause us to often be overwhelmed, stressed, and afraid. But it's so sweet to know. It's so sweet to know that we serve a God. We serve a God who will be with us in death. He will be with us every step of the way. He is not only a God of the sunrise, but he is also a God of the sunset. He is not only a God of the hills, but he is a God of the valleys. In Psalm 23, King David says that the Lord is his shepherd, he shall not want. The Lord makes him lie down in green pastures. He leads him beside still waters. King David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I go down into the valley, even though I go down into the pits, even though I go down into the depths of the earth, thou art with me, he says. It is so incredibly sweet to know that we serve a God who is with us in death. And he can be with us in death because he has experienced death. Christ Jesus, who is the living embodiment of the Father, came to this earth. He came to this earth. He stripped himself of his majesty and he clothed himself with flesh and blood. He lived among men. He suffered as a man and he died as a man. He died as a man. Christ himself experienced death. But we know 3 days later, there was an empty tomb. We know 3 days later, Christ had risen from the grave. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as the Apostle Paul is speaking about the consequences of a life without Christ, as Paul is speaking about the consequences of a life without Jesus' resurrection, he says that those who have died in the Lord have perished if Christ had not risen. But we know since Christ has risen, since the last enemy, death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26, has been conquered, we know that those who have perished in the Lord will forever and always be eternally with the Lord. And when we take our last breath, and when we go down into the depths of the earth, whether it be in Hades, whether it be a resting place until the Lord returns, wherever we go and whatever may happen to us when we die, it is comforting to know that we will still be with the Lord. In Psalm 139, King David ponders, praises, and pours out his heart to the Lord. He is overwhelmed when he considers the majesty and the power and the omniscience of God. He is amazed when he thinks about the ever-present God. He is amazed when he thinks about the omnipresent God, the God who reigns on earth, the God who reigns in heaven, the God who reigns in death, and the God who reigns everywhere. God is everywhere at all times. In Psalm 139, King David asks the rhetorical question in verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there." Verse 9, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand will hold me." If I take the wings of the morning, if I take the wings in the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I get on a ship, if I get on a boat, if I get in a car, if I get on a plane, if I get on a rocket and blast off way, 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 way out to infinity and beyond, what King David is reminding his audience is, God will still be with us. We can go to the furthest place on this earth, and we cannot get away from God. As privileged American citizens, sometimes I feel as though we often forget that Jesus didn't come to this earth to simply die for Americans. Jesus didn't come to this earth to simply die for people here at the Bartlett Church of Christ, for people in Memphis, Tennessee, for people in the state of Tennessee, for people in the United States of America. We get so comfortable and we get so familiar and we get so content with our own little Church of Christ bubbles in our own small communities that we forget about the fact that God's presence and His reign is far beyond. It stretches far beyond our little bubble. God died. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all people, not just people in America. And I know that I'm kind of going on a rabbit trail, but the point that I'm trying to make is God reigns everywhere. God lives everywhere. His presence is everywhere. He rules everywhere. God's reign, His rule, and His presence cannot be bound by time or space. It is far beyond this church building. It is far beyond Bartlett, Tennessee. It's far beyond Tennessee. It's far beyond America. It's far beyond this world. It cannot be contained because He is an ever-present, omnipresent God who is everywhere at all times. In Psalm 139, King David comes to this realization. He comes to the realization that he serves a God who stretches far beyond this earth into the heavens. He serves a God that stretches way down into the depths of the earth. He serves a God whose presence and whose rule and whose reign cannot be bound by time and space. And he realized that he served a God who shines in darkness. In Psalm 139 in verse 7, King David asks, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. It is so incredible. It is so fascinating that darkness and light are alike to the Lord. Friends, we are living in an incredibly dark world. A world that is saturated with sin. A world full of people who call good evil and evil good. A world full of people who trade light for darkness and darkness for light. And sometimes as we consider the spiritual trajectory of this world that we live in, it's often hard. It's often hard for us to see the difference between light and darkness. It's often hard for us to see the difference between what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And we so often ask ourselves, does God care? Does God see? Does God know about all of the sin and all of the wickedness in this world? Will God act? Will God do something to eradicate sin out of this world? The answer is, absolutely. Yes. Yes, he will. Yes, God knows. Yes, God sees. And yes, God will act. Because we serve a God. We serve a God who is light. He is light. There is no darkness in him at all. He is light, and he exposes darkness. He exposes sin. He exposes folly. He exposes evil. Jonah couldn't run from God. Adam couldn't hide from God. And when King David lied, God knew exactly what he had done. Because all things are naked and exposed to him who we will give an account. God exposes the darkness. God exposes the folly. God exposes evil, and he exposes wickedness through the light of his Son, Jesus Christ, who shines in each and every one of you. In Psalm 139, King David was overwhelmed when he considered the great God in heaven. The great God in heaven who not only reigns on earth, but he reigns in heaven. The great God who lives in the deepest recesses of the earth. The great God who cannot be bound by time and space. And the great God who exposes the darkness. As I was preparing for this lesson, I thought a lot about my own mother. My mom died about 7 years ago. I was 24 years old. And over the past 7 years, I have been sad. There have been times where I have felt lonely. There have been times when I was angry. There have been times when I've had joy in my heart. I have had a mix of emotions over the past 7 years, just as you and I all have. We are emotional people. Unfortunately, my mother is not here to comfort me when I'm sad. Unfortunately, she is not here to share joys and triumphs in my life. She won't ever see me marry. She won't ever meet her grandchildren. She cannot experience those things with me because she is not here. She is dead. And that's sad to think about. But the more I think, the more joy comes to my mind because I know that I have a God who is here. I have a God who is with me all throughout my life. I have a God who experiences the trials that I experience in my life. I have a God who is with me to comfort me when I am sad. And I have a God who knows everything that is going on in my life. He is well acquainted with me. And the more I begin to think about how God is well acquainted with me in this life, I continue to think about how the Lord is well acquainted with my mother in death. As we learned in Psalm 139, God is not only with us in this life, but He is also with us in death. And maybe, I don't know, I could be wrong, but maybe God has told my mother about the sadness that I have experienced in this life. Maybe God has told my mother about the joys that I have experienced in this life. And when I get married, maybe the Lord will tell my mother about her daughter-in-law. Maybe the Lord will tell my mother about her grandchildren. I don't know. I may be wrong. Some of you may come up to me after services and say, Tim, that's absolutely false. God doesn't communicate with those who have deceased. But I don't know. It could be the case. And the more I think about how the Lord is acquainted with me in this life, and the more I think about how the Lord is acquainted with my mother and all of those who have gone on before in the next life, I can find joy, I can find peace, and I can find comfort knowing that we serve an omnipresent God. An omnipresent God who lives on this earth. He lives in heaven. He lives every single place in the corners of this world. If there are corners, you can't bind him by time and space. He is in this life. He is in the next life. He is always everywhere at all times. That's a wonderful, fascinating God that we serve. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, this is the perfect opportunity to become one. You can do so by hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is his son, having your sins washed away in baptism, rising forth, walking, living every single day in newness of life. If you've done this before, but you've made mistakes and would like to make things right today, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.